Thank you. Thank you so much, Tamara. I love that. I love to hear the names of that Christ spirit, the names of God also, Jehovah Jireh, Nisi, all those wonderful things. So thank you for that. Thank you, beloved Shirley, as always, for tickling the ivories for us. And for our two outstanding gentlemen that are part of the Richard Payne Trio, Rudy and Roderick. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you to all of you who are here this morning on this bright and wonderful day. This is a day that the Lord has made, and I don't know about you, but I feel like rejoicing and being glad in it. Yes, yes, yes. So before we begin, I want to take a moment for us to also affirm and bring the energy together for this day in this space with you there and us here to pray the prayer for unity of Washington, D.C. So if my wonderful AV folks who are working hard, we got a lot of young people in the AV room today, but if they can put up the prayer, thank you so much. Let's affirm this prayer together strongly. Unity of Washington, D.C. is a prosperous and dynamic center of love, peace, joy, and truth. We are mighty to attract an abundance of good and to radiate that good to others. All of our needs are met in full and on time with enough to share and to spare. We are overflowing with positive, prayerful, and loving people committed to the principles of truth. We all serve for the glory of God, and so it is. Amen. Amen and amen. Wow. Welcome, welcome, welcome this morning to each of you. It is really good for me. I feel good this morning. And I feel, yes, I do. And it's good to be with all of you. And while I do indeed love those of you who have chosen to come and to be in the flesh, to come together, to worship together with us this morning, I love it because I can feel your vibration, right? And I can play off of your energy. You feed me, I feed you, you feed me. And there's a reciprocal flow of divine energy that we share with one another. And I absolutely love that. But at the very same time, I also appreciate you. You who have chosen to join us on our online platforms. Because strangely enough, you too add to the vibration and the consciousness, the collective consciousness of all of us as we come together to worship. So I honor you. I thank you. Even though you see me looking on the side, I'm talking to you out there. And so I just am grateful for everyone who's decided to tune in this morning to add to this wonderful vibration of who we are in this particular moment. There's something very powerful about the collective. We are a part of the collective. Even though we feel individual, we are a part of a greater whole. Not only are we a part of the greater whole of, let's say, coming together here, but we're a part of the greater whole in our nation. We're part of the greater whole in the world. We are part of the greater whole in the universe. With all the suns and the galaxies, we are a part of the whole. Even though we are showing up perhaps as individuals, there's something very powerful about recognizing and seeing and claiming and feeling ourselves in the spirit and vibration of oneness. Energy. You see, energy, the energy that we are, the energy that everything is, it transcends time and space and even matter, because it is all of those things. But energy cannot be contained or confined into one little location. It is that which is able to transcend everything, time, space, matter. And yet there's something so very powerful, even though, you know, you're joining us through the ethers, and there are other people who are not here today, you know, worshiping in the flesh, but maybe they are traveling or whatever. But even still, there's something powerful about being with one another. I love that we're here together, but I also love that we are coming together. There's something special about coming together as a group or as a collective that amplifies our individual vibration, especially if we are coming together and we are in one accord. If we are coming together in a tuning into a harmonious frequency, saying that let's all tune into the vibration and frequency of love, and we all tune in. What happens is, even though we are individual expressions of energy, of vibration, when we come together, we automatically amplify our individual expression. It just grows exponentially. And if we're on that same accord, then it's even more powerful. This is really important, because I'm thinking, thank God that this is a spiritual happening of when, you know, we come together in a group, because what that means is that we can actually lift one another up. And we can even change our vibration. We can change or raise our own individual vibration just by being in a collective that is focused on a high frequency. It happens with a low frequency too, but we don't want to go there. There's purpose in that. And I think Jesus had this, he hints at this when he says, where two or more are gathered together in my name, there am I where? In the midst of them. So he's giving us an indication of the power of amplification by coming together. The two or more are gathered together in my name, which metaphysically and spiritually we know one's name denotes one's character. So what this is saying to us is, when two or more people come together in the spiritual nature of the Christ, in the spiritual vibration of the Christ, that nature, the very nature of the Christ, with all of its qualities of being and its essence, all of that becomes paramount. It's in the center. I'm in the midst of all of it. Becomes central, and it becomes amplified within those who are gathered in that nature and in that name. So it shows up more than if we were just alone. And this is very powerful for us to understand, especially at this time in the evolutionary life cycle of our Earth and where we are on the planet. But this is also a very good reason to get a good prayer partner. You know, get a good prayer partner or someone that you can touch and agree with. It says this in Matthew 18, verse 19. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. That's a powerful promise. If two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father. Now, this is important for us to understand, because what he's saying is, this is why it's also important. Don't ask everybody to pray with you. You want to get those people you know who are going to be in agreement with you. Those people who can match your vibration. Those people that are going to match your faith. They're not going to come with, well, okay, I'm going to pray with you, Red, but I don't know about that. This is what it says. You know what? Stay over there. You want people who are going to agree with your nature, match your faith, and they can say yes to your yes or no to your no. So that the agreement is specific. You're on the same vibrational level and frequency. And when that happens, woo, then it says you can ask anything in that nature, in my name, in that nature, and it'll be done to you by my Father in heaven. So this is really important for us to understand that when we pray with another, it shouldn't be a willy-nilly thing. If you can't stand in agreement with someone for their prayer request, don't pray with them. Because all you're going to do is add your negative doubt. You're going to bring the whole thing down. So this is really important for us to understand this whole thing of how energy works and how the vibration that we bring to a collection of whether it's one person or 100 people or whatever, that there's such power in our coming together. Now, while it's true that we will amplify our presence and our power when we are connected to another like-minded soul, like vibrational soul, it's very important, but it is also equally important to work on our individual center of being and our individual sense of power, our individual vibratory level, so that when we in fact do connect with someone else of a like-minded soul, when we do gather together with someone else, then our light and our power and our vibration and frequency become so much higher, because we're coming to the table with our best and highest self. So I'm thinking, if I come to the table with my best and highest self, and you come to the table with your best and highest self, and we are touching and agreeing, then I tell you what, we can create something otherworldly. We amplified our power, and we can create something that is greater than each of us individually. We can, in fact, friends, we can change the world. We can change the world together, right? We can change the world together by changing our vibration, changing our frequency, finding those that we can touch and agree with, those who are on the same accord. Now, all of that starts, again, by us individually changing our own frequency, raising it up. You don't want to bring, you know, garbage to the table. You don't want to bring your best. Now, there are times in life where I got to get to the table because I don't have my best thing going, my A game going, and I need to enter into this. That's different, because I'm coming with an open heart, wanting and desiring to have my vibration, what? Raised. So that I can add to the collective and that I can be blessed and transformed. That's a little different. But what it is that we have to start with ourselves. We start with changing our mind, changing our mindset, changing our thoughts, changing our perspectives, our feelings, our values, our attitudes. We know the whole kit and caboodle that makes up our consciousness, but also makes up our energetic field, our energy, field of energy, right? And so we want to start by changing that. And by changing it, I mean raising it. Raising it to its highest, highest level that is possible for us at any given time. And we know when we're operating on a lower vibration. We know it. We can see it. We express it. We know, well, that didn't come out right. Or that was, you know what I mean? I know when I'm off my game and I've expressed it, I'm like, You need to change that up. So you need to pull that back, reel it in. And sometimes I have to do some prayer work on, Lord, forgive me. So I know, but this is the work that we have to do. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I love it. He's clear. Don't be conformed by this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. So in other words, don't conform, transform. You know, a lot of what's happening is it is hitting us vibrationally at such a level that we're tired. And so we're going to, and this is what is part of the design, that we get tired and we begin to what? Conform. We just acquiesce. It's like, I can't do that. I don't know what's going on today, but whatever. No. Don't conform. Do what? Transform. We have the power to transform anything and everything. But we have to understand how to use this divine energy in concert with one another so that we create an energetic field that we all can slip into and be lifted up by. That's why you come together in a spiritual community on Sunday. Let me come get my hit. Let me come be in this vibration so that I can raise myself up. And when I leave here, I feel okay. Let's go, world. I got it. Now, you may come in here again next Sunday from the whole week's worth, but that's okay. We keep what? Amplifying our vibration together. Because sometimes I'm going to need you to lift me up and you'll need me to lift you up, but we have to do this together. And this is what it's going to take, I believe. So we're not about conforming, we are about transforming. Now, you always hear me speak definitely about us being light bearers, light workers, healers, transformers, metaphysicians. I encourage us to take on that mantle as a part of our identity all the time. Do I not? Yes, I do. But, you know, to order for us to manifest that so it becomes a living reality of who we are, we're going to have to change some things. First of all, we're going to have to think out of the box. We got to think out of the box. We have to begin to operate on a different plane of consciousness. Or just a different plane that we might not be comfortable with or used to operating. We're going to have to learn how to take and have inspired action to be inspired. So we're operating on a different plane, the spiritual plane perhaps. But we're going to have to learn how to transform our inner vibratory expression, because who you are is constantly being broadcasted to the world. When you come into a room, your vibration precedes you. Your consciousness will follow you and be with you. And people will feel that without ever having known who you are by name. They will feel your presence. And that's happened to all of us, right? I mean, I've been in a place where I know that, ooh, this vibration does not feel good, or this individual does not feel good. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what you're saying, but what you're saying ain't matching what I'm feeling. And all that does is it makes me go, keep one eye open. I got my good eye on you. I'm willing to be open and receptive that you can be something different, but my spidey senses say, you need to be aware, right? Because we're all vibration. And we are affecting one another just by being in each other's presence. So we're going to have to think a little differently, start responding to life on a different plane so that, you know, when we raise our own vibrations, we're raising our vibrations, which raises our actions and which raises our energetic field of influence, because we each have a field of influence. You know, not just the influencers who are on the internet. We're all influencers. We're all, you know, because I said we're all vibrating and having an opportunity to have some kind of effect on the collective, on the group. And so that when we want to begin to raise our individual, you know, that we want things to change, when we do that, when we raise our vibrations, then things change, people begin to change, situations change, because it's the vibration that has changed. Yes. right? So now we'll start to see things differently. We see people differently. We respond to experiences differently. When that the pray and things happen. So the vibration affects that. And what we want is we want to know that when we come into the room that we're the biggest, baddest spirit in the room. And when I come into the room, I want you to know that my spirit is preceding me. Right? My light and my energy is going before me. So if you want to bring me something that's less than good, you're going to think twice about that. Because I'm coming in there with my whole spiritual self. My high vibration of who I am. And so that when you come into that room, things change around you. We can feel that. You go to a group meeting and whatever, and we're feeling each other, and then we've established something, and all of a sudden somebody new comes in, and we can feel the shift. Good or bad, high or low, but we know something has shifted and changed. So what we're trying to do is I want everything around me to match my vibration, which I'm trying to what? Raise it up high to the highest and the best of who I am and who I can be and have been created to be. I want mine to be the strong, you know, like that pitch, what is it? The pitchfork, when you hit it, it changes the keys on the piano and causes those piano keys to match that vibration. Well, I'm going to be a pitchfork. You're going to match my vibration, right? Now, I got to make sure that what? My vibration is high. I don't want to come in and amplify my low vibration because that can happen too. So we're trying to recognize that when our vibration is strong and it's high, we will automatically raise the vibrational field of others so that they can be pulled up. Remember, right? We affect each other when we are together. And I believe this is why Jesus, speaking as that Christ, that high expression and identity, said this. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men, all women, all beings unto me. And this is what I think. I think he's talking about his consciousness. He's not coming from an ego point of view. He's saying, if I be lifted up, if I can raise up this Christ consciousness, if I can raise up my Christ vibration and my spirit and my powers and my abilities and my character and my essence, if I can raise that up, that will draw anything that is lower than that, less than that, it'll draw it up unto me. That's a powerful thing. That's a powerful thing. He's talking about his energetic field and the expanse of it to do a powerful work. This is why, you know, he could be in that crowd and the woman who had an issue of blood said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'd be on. She didn't even go up. She snuck down. And got there and got in proximity, not even to touching him. She just touched that hem. And woo! And Jesus said, wait a minute. Virtue has left me. Meaning he felt that shift of vibration of somebody coming into his energetic field. And he wasn't mad about it, but he knew it had occurred. Because we are all what? We're connected. We're energetic beings. And so he said, who touched me? And the disciples, you know, love them. God bless them, because sometimes they were so clueless. But they'd be, what do you mean who touched you, Lord? We in a whole big crowd. There's so many people who could touch you. And he's like, mm-mm. Somebody came into my energetic field and touched me, caused a wrinkle in time, caused a wrinkle in my spirit. And then, of course, it was the woman who confessed that it was her. Which was bold on her part anyway, because women were not out to be out in a crowd like that by themselves, much less touch a male, especially while they were having an issue of blood. Jesus didn't get into all of that. Who cares about that? I understand. Oh, okay. You need to be healed or whatever. I'm going to share my vibration with you. You're healed. Boom. done. That's the power that we can wield and yield when we come from our higher selves. When we come from this wonderful spirit, this divine essence of who we are as Christed beings. As divine, a Christed being is simply a divine being that has the recognition of its oneness with God, that has the understanding of its being created by the source of all creation, and that we are emboldened and we embody so much more than we can ever imagine being one with God. And so I'm thinking that because of he's talking about his connection, he's talking about all of this being a part of it, so that when he puts out all of this energy and vibrations, he does it so that others could tap into it. They could tap into it and be influenced by it, be affected by it, be touched by it, be healed by it. He didn't always have to go and physically touch anybody. His presence was strong enough that they could be touched just by being in his presence. One of the centurion's daughter was ill, and he said, you know, if you could just pray and say a word, you know, that she'd be healed. You don't have to come. And Jesus said, well, I'll come. But the man knew, you don't even have to come. Just speak that word. Just get in that vibration with her and it'll be done. And that's when he said, ooh, Jesus said about the centurion, what faith this man has, because he knows that I don't even have to be in the room to have this woman be healed. I have to make that energetic connection, that vibratory connection of releasing my energy as the Christ. And it can meet and match her vibration as the Christ, and healing can take place. He was like, that's the kind of faith you all need to have, the faith like that centurion. Because sometimes we all want, no, I need you to come and touch me and rub me 3 times and go around. No. I could just speak the word and it's done. I could just think that thought and it's done. Because it's vibration. Once I get myself on a higher vibration of healing and oneness and connectedness, then I can tap in, I can raise that vibration, and that vibration can be received and felt by that woman. This is why silent unity began. This is how prayer works. You don't have to be physically present. But if two of people are praying for you, your spirit and your soul can receive that vibration and be healed. That's how silent unity, they started, Myrtle Joy started writing people. They would gather together, create a circle of silent unity, of coming together. They used to call themselves initially the Silent 70. And they would vibrate and pray and pray, and people in California or whoever was writing would be healed. We have to understand the power and nature of energy and spirit. It's just not confined. Open and expand our awareness of what is possible. We got to get out of only 3-dimensional or even 4th-dimensional thinking and living. We got to go up higher, out of the box. 5-dimensional, 6-dimensional, however many dimensions there are, get up there. Jesus said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions, many levels. Let's start getting up to these other levels. So it's going to take a different mindset for us, but a different mindset is needed in this day and time, right? The different mindset is needed in this day and time. So this is a powerful teaching that Jesus is trying to show us. Now, if we're going to be light bearers or whatever, we have to learn how to use our lights, how to get it out, how to open up, how to put it out there so that other people can see it, feel it, receive it, and be what? Raised up in the vibration and lifted up. And there's a wonderful story in the scriptures that demonstrates Jesus coming from and presenting himself as a light bearer, as I encourage all of us to do. But before, and it's found in Matthew 17, verse 1 through 9. But before I get to that scripture, I want to talk a little bit, set it up for what was happening before we come to this scripture of Jesus demonstrating his essence as a light being, a light bearer. And he's talking, prior to that, he's talking to his disciples, and he's trying to tell them of his impending death, what's going to happen to him. And he's also trying to encourage them and prepare them. But this is what it says, and this is in Matthew 16, so it's the chapter before Matthew 17. And it says here, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when he said that, it says Jesus replied, oh, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, of John, because it was my Father in heaven that has revealed this to you. You did not learn it from any human being. Right? This is important. Now I say that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not be able to conquer it. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Wherever you forbid, or whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth shall be permitted in heaven. And then he sternly warned the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. So what we see here is that Peter has a revelation. There was an impartation when he asked, who do you say I am? The others are doing what the worldly response would be. Oh, you're an incarnation of this one, of that one. And so Peter just says, no, thou art the Christ. And he knew that a message came from on high. That somehow Simon Peter was in tune to a different vibration. He was tuned into a vibration from on high, that he could receive a direct impartation from the divine, from God, or as Jesus puts it, from his Father in heaven in a high consciousness. And because he knew that that was what was happening with Peter, that he had reached that, he had what? Raised his consciousness, raised his vibration so he could glean something that was not necessarily known or on the lower level, he said, ooh, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. And from now on, you're going to be Peter, which is rock, because that came from a solid place. And I'm going to build my church on this solid place. I'm going to build my church on those who are able to go within, tune in, connect with the divine, with God, and have a direct relationship, revelation, whatever, from on high. So he knew that they were ready by Peter's response. Not all of them, but at least Peter was ready and the rest of them came along. So this is what happens then. So they do a little bit and then they go on to 7. And I'm going to read this one from the Message. This Bible has the New International, the Living Translation, and the King James and the Message. And so I always read all four to see which one speaks to me. And so today I'm going to read this one from the Message. And this is what it says. 6 days after, so he has had that experience with them, and he's telling them about what's going to come, how he's going to die, all that other stuff. Then it says, 6 days later, three of them saw that glory. Jesus took Peter and the brothers, James and John, and led them up a high mountain. Now, I'm going to interpret as I go along in the interest of time. But he takes with him who? Peter, James, and John. Metaphysically, that is, he's taking Peter, who represents faith. He takes James, who represents wisdom. And he takes John, who represents love. So he's got these characteristics to back him up. And he takes them up. And it says, a high mountain, and all translations say a high mountain. It's not just any mountain, but it's what? It's a high mountain. It's a high mountain. And I want to read what the metaphysical definition that Mr. Fillmore says when he speaks of a mountain. He says, a mountain represents an exalted state of mind. When you're on the mountaintop, you're in a what? An exalted state of mind, a high consciousness. He said, a mountain represents an exalted state of mind where the divine plan may be perceived and unfolded. It is a state of spiritual realization. So he's taken them to have the divine plan revealed to them in this consciousness, in this state of being. And I love that it says the high mountain to which personality, that is our lower self, carries us in our spiritual uplift is the consciousness of power over mortal thought. Meaning that when we are about to go into on a high level of consciousness, this high level of consciousness is going to take us above any lower mere level of thought or the worldly thoughts or any lower vibration or prognosis or diagnosis or whatever. Above all of that, right? This is what our higher self does. And so it says the mountain to which personality carries us in our spiritual uplift is the consciousness of power over mortal thought in its earth, in all of its earthly avenues of expression. Going up into the mountain to pray means elevating our thoughts and our aspirations to the spiritual point of view. So he's taken them up the mountain to have an overview, a higher estimate of what the plan is. So when we go metaphorically or even physically up to the mountain, we are opening ourselves up for a higher perspective, to have a revelation of the divine plan that is for us or the situation. So we need to get to, it's like when Martin Luther King Jr. said, I've been to the mountaintop and I've looked over. God has allowed me to look over and I've seen the promised land. Because he was in a what? He was in an exalted state of mind and he could perceive. He knew what was coming. That's why he said, you know, like anybody, I might not get there with you. I want to live a long life like anybody. But he also knew what was to come. And when last year on my birthday, I get this pull to go to Sedona. You know, I've been going every couple of months, and there's a reason, because I want to get myself to what? To that high mountaintop. I need to have these high revelations and experiences, and they bless me. But when I was there on my birthday, and I told you that, Spirit allowed me to go to the mountaintop and to look over and to have that experience of what it is to be in a state of heaven, to have that experience of just being in pure light and love. And all I could feel in this moment of having this transcendent experience was love and light, and my soul was overwhelmed and rejoicing. And it was like, ooh, everything is all right. Everything is all right. And so, you know, it's my feeling was like, it doesn't matter what happens out here on this plane. I don't know the future. None of us knows that. I don't know what's going to happen to me. But I already know that whatever it is, when it's my time to get to that, it's going to be glorious and powerful and beautiful. So I had that experience. And so Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, faith, wisdom, and love, up to the mountaintop. So this is what happens. He gets them up there. And then it says, his appearance changed from the inside out right before their eyes. Sunlight poured from his face. His clothes were filled with light. Now, I like that it says the moment they got up there, his appearance changed from the inside out. Meaning who he was on that vibratory level of the Christ, whoo, came pouring out. So much that they couldn't even see his whole face was just nothing but light. His clothes were nothing but light. He was a being of light from the inside out. And then it says, then they realized that Moses and Elijah were also there in deep conversation with him. So they're now peering into a whole different realm where Moses and Elijah are there. And Elijah's like a forecoming Old Testament, but they are the Old Testament forerunners of the Christ energy. But he's communicating with them, right? And then Peter speaks up and says, ooh, master, This is a great moment. What would you think if I built 3 memorials here on the mountain? One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Because he's excited. He recognizes this is something deep here. This is something fantastic. I'm going to build some, because they're always building, in the old days, the Israelites were always building a temple, a tabernacle, making a space sacred or whatever. He says, let's memorialize this and make it sacred. Now, while it says, I love it. It says, while he was going on like this, babbling, a light, radiant cloud enveloped them. And in another scripture, it says, and I thought that was very interesting. It says, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Now, how do you have a bright cloud? Right? A cloud is a cloud. But this was something different. Jesus was filled with light, and this cloud was also light, and it was an overshadowing of light, of energy, right? And it comes off a light, radiant cloud, not an ordinary cloud. It's just more light. And it says, while he was going on like this, babbling, a light, radiant cloud enveloped them, and sounding from deep in the cloud, a voice. This is my son, marked by my love. Focus on my delight. Listen to him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell flat on their faces, scared to death. But Jesus came over and touched them and said, don't be afraid. And when they opened their eyes and looked around, all they saw was Jesus and only Jesus. They had a moment where they glimpsed into the other realm, the spiritual realm, with all its power and glory. And they could see Moses and Elijah and Jesus as a full light being. And they were all right with that. And then until the next level happened, they heard that voice and they were like, oops, snapped right back into what? To their lower vibration, to their lower self, because they weren't quite ready for it. It was a good start, but they weren't totally ready to just fully be immersed in a higher vibration and consciousness. And so it's like when Peter was walking on the water, he was doing it until he what? Noticed the lower vibration of the wind and the waves. And then he sunk. But that's okay. He walked on the water. We all got to start somewhere, right? We got to build ourselves up. So the moment they began to, focus, heard that light and focus, it brought them back, and they had their faces down and they were afraid. And Jesus says, don't be afraid. Then coming down the mountain, Jesus swore them to secrecy. Don't breathe a word of what you have seen. After the Son of Man is raised from the dead, you are free to talk. And in the scripture before, he also tells them when they ask who it is, and he says that he's the Christ, and he says to them, he says, don't tell anyone that he was the Christ. So he's not ready to have it all blasted out. And why do you think that is? Because the moment he's blasted out, before his time of demonstration comes, before he's gathered his powerful energy to be able to say, I'm going to show you something that you can't deny. Because if I come and just tell you, guess what? I'm the Christ. You'd be like, yeah. Right? And all that energy, that negative energy would be directed toward him, making it harder for him to do what he came to do. So it's like, look, my time is not yet. Don't tell anybody yet. Because we can be we're going to drag it down. Oh, yeah, you the Christ, prove it, blah, 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 blah. But he said, I'm going to make a demonstration so great it'll be undeniable. But not yet. So don't tell anybody. Don't go putting that thought out there into the ethers, because people aren't ready at that moment to receive it. Let me prepare the field of consciousness first. Let me do some more miracles. Let me shape the essence and the vibration so that people can receive it and step into it. So don't tell anyone, he says. But after I've made my demonstration, you're free to talk about it. You can say, yeah, I was there. I saw it. I saw him when he did blah, blah, blah. People still won't believe it, but that's okay. So what we have here is something very powerful, because we see that he was able to show himself in his pure essence. We are light beings. We are light bearers. We are the light of the world. and we, the time is coming now for us to be able to show and demonstrate our light, to be enfolded to such a degree that other people can't deny that there's something different about us. It's time for us to raise our vibration to the point where when people come in our presence, they feel that vibration, and they then too are what? Lifted up. They're lifted up. And we can do that as a collective. We can gather together as like-minded people on the planet. And there are so many of us on the planet trying to do this spiritual work, right? And we can link up with them. You don't have to know them. There's somebody probably in Russia, in Africa, in China, in France, wherever, that's doing the work. Link up with the light. Link up with the vibration of goodness. Link up with the vibration of God that is all around us. And when we start to do that, our prayer for unity of Washington, D.C. is putting out a high vibration. When we come together and we're meditating together, we're putting out a high vibration. The more we do that, the more we're creating a wrinkle in the time, a wrinkle in the ethers, so that things are changed. We might not see it, but things have changed. And so we can do that by, you know, my colleague said we should walk around the White House 7 times. Get everybody together and just walk around. Bring our light there. Bring that vibration there, because be not fooled, we can affect the vibration that is emanating out of there. I don't care how big it is, we're bigger. God is bigger. So there's something that we can do, and this is our time to begin to do it. And we got to be out of the box. We got to think differently. You know, we got to be prayer warriors, light workers. All right, let's do this work. When I was I saw a video the other day, and it was explaining 7 vibratory levels that that can shift our reality, levels that we move through. And when we begin to have an awareness of these 7 levels, we also gain the ability to transform ourselves from where? From within. From the within. Jesus was transformed where? From within to the outer. So when we start to work with these vibratory levels, we can begin to shift the reality that we're all experiencing, or at least the reality that we experience individually and those that are around us. So I'm going to hold an invitation for you. I don't have time to go into it today, but hopefully you can join us next week as we kind of delve into these vibratory levels to see where we are in any given point in time and how we can move and keep expanding and growing and operating from the highest vibration we can muster. In the meantime, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? Elevate your consciousness from within. Raise your spirit and your vibration to the Christ energy that dwells within you, right? That is you. Begin to shine your light. Where can I shine this light? Where can I lift up the vibration? It may be in a meeting that you're in or something. Raise your own vibration and watch if everybody else doesn't start to kind of change their tune and kind of maybe get on board with what you're speaking about. Walk into the spaces that you inhabit. Walk into these spaces and take up space with your divine self. Take up space in the room. You know, show up, shine out. And lift up. So this morning the song came to me, I'm all the way up. I'm all the way up. So I was just, well, I'm all the way up. Move into the world. I'm all the way. Let me hear you say, I'm all the way up. I'm all the way up. Yes, we gotta shine and vibrate. I'm all the way up. Because the higher I can raise my vibration, you will have no other choice but to come up. That's the power we have. So be ye transformed, friends, by the renewal of your mind and your spirit and your light and your essence and your vibration. So join us next week. Blessings and namaste. Blessings. Thank you. Blessings, blessings, blessings.